I'm sure you know that the number 40 is a very special number, symbolic number in the Bible. It's very important, symbolic. It's a measurement of time, usually, like 40 days and 40 nights and 40 years. And in all of those cases, it has to do with a waiting for the fulfillment of a promise of God. Waiting for the fulfillment of one of his promises. And some people will tell us that the number 40 may be the most important number in the Old Testament. The number 40, used over and over symbolically in the Old Testament, often was a foreshadow of the coming of Jesus Christ. Here are just a few of the examples. Noah was in the ark for 40 days and 40 nights. During the Exodus, God provided the manna for the people for 40 years. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai, he was there for 40 days. When Joshua sent the spies into the promised land, they were there for 40 days. Goliath presented himself before the Israelites for 40 days. The first king of Israel, Saul, reigned for 40 years. David reigned for 40 years. Solomon reigned for 40 years. When Jonah finally went to Nineveh, God gave that city 40 days to repent. And all of that led to a promise of God and a fulfillment. And now I'm going to read a verse from the New Testament that is packed with more promise than all of those stories put together. And it has to do with the number 40. Luke 1. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Now, what does that have to do with the number 40? The length of time that a woman carries a baby to full term is 40 weeks. 40 weeks of anticipation and testing and growth and sacrifice and transformation and preparation for a new life to come into the world, changing priorities, expecting a miracle. Today we are at the conclusion of our four-part series in Advent on the acronym LIFE, L-I-F-E, look inside, feel expectant. All of us guys, know exactly what it's like to be pregnant. Not. Our part is simple. The ladies' part means dying to self. Our part is to be supportive. Her part is to demand support. In America, if a guy encounters a lady who is very pregnant, the polite thing to do is to not notice that she looks like a blimp, to say nothing. But in France, it's different. In France, if a gentleman encounters a very pregnant lady, there is a common phrase that he would say to her. And the phrase is, "I congratulate you on your hope." Isn't that beautiful? The time of expecting a baby is what some people would call actively waiting. Actively waiting. It's a time when good nutrition is very important. It's a time when we try to balance exercise with rest. It's the time when a lady seeks the care of a good physician and tries to stay physically healthy. It's a time to make ready the room for the new occupant, to get your house into order. It's a time of wonderful anticipation of the promise. The central focus of life shifts from me to us, from the present time to the future time. And that's where we are. right now in this blessed season of Advent. We're not just celebrating the first Advent, we're also celebrating and anticipating the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are in a time of actively waiting. We're pregnant. Good nutrition is important during this time. So feed yourself on the Word of God. Exercise your faith and rest in the Lord. Seek the care of the great physician and make sure that you are spiritually healthy. Get ready. Make sure your house is in order. Then sing. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you. Shift the focus from me to us, Lord. Press on to the prize that this future hope promises to all of us. I vividly remember when Elizabeth and I learned that we were expecting our first baby. I mean, we were flooded with all the emotions you can imagine. Hallelujah! We're expecting! What's next? Well, maybe we'd better go to a childbirth class. So off we went to a childbirth class. And they taught us special breathing techniques. We rehearsed them. They taught me how to touch and comfort her during labor, and we rehearsed that. They even taught us how to properly change a diaper, and we rehearsed that. Advent is a time of rehearsing for the big event that's yet to come, and Christmas is a big event, but the second coming of Jesus Christ is even bigger. Part of what we are doing right here today, right now, which we call worship, is really a rehearsal for what we are going to be doing for eternity, praising God and worshiping God and serving and enjoying God. That's what we're doing here. Now, as a former choir director, I learned a long time ago that when some amateurs come to a choir rehearsal, many of them will just try to get through it. They slouch in their seats. They don't sit up. They don't breathe well. They don't bother to look up from their music at the director. They talk when they should be listening. And they put in just enough effort to learn some of the notes and some of the rhythm and some of the words, but they don't really care about all the other stuff. All they really seem to care about is the performance to come. Now, I didn't describe any of our choir members here, I know, but I just want to say that that's, you know, sometimes that happens. But I've discovered this. When a true artist comes to a rehearsal, a true artist gives themselves fully to a rehearsal. They make the rehearsal as important as the big event that's coming. They give it their all, even if they do not see a visible audience. That's the way it should be for you and me as we approach this second coming of Jesus Christ. We should sit up. We should breathe well. We should make the most excellent sounds we can possibly make as we praise our Savior in song. The big event is coming. Hallelujah. We want to be ready. Sometimes pregnancies go well. Sometimes they're complicated. One of my favorite memories of the birthday of our first baby is when we were driving to the hospital. Elizabeth was sitting in the passenger seat groaning and moaning, and I am driving as fast as I can within the law, or almost within the law. And wouldn't you know it, we're not too far from the hospital and we come to a red traffic light. Now, Lord, a stoplight now? I'm waiting for it to turn green. Finally, it turns green. And we proceed through the traffic and turn to the right. And as we do, I sideswipe a van right beside me. Elizabeth screams, Harry, you hit a car. You have to stop. I said, no! And I came to another stoplight. No, no! And the van pulled up right beside me. I rolled down the window and I looked at him and I said, I'm all right, are you all right? My wife's having a baby, we're going to the hospital. And he said, yeah, sure, fine, we're fine, bye. The light turned green and I said, thank you, Lord. And we went to the hospital. That's one of my favorite memories. Here's another one. We were in the prep room waiting for them to say it's time to go to the delivery room. Elizabeth is in her hospital gown on her bed, and I'm sitting beside her. And during the labor pains, which were coming faster and faster, we breathed just as we had rehearsed. And I massaged her and comforted her as best I could, just as we had rehearsed. And then something happened that they had told us about in the childbirth class. They gave it a name. The name was transition. And they described it as a moment shortly before birth when a woman's emotions become irrational. We husbands were told not to be offended by anything that might happen during that time. As I am sitting beside Elizabeth, helping her breathe rhythmically and empathetically massaging her and comforting her, she looks at me and she said, get off of my bed. Thank God that they had warned me. Now here's our warning today. Jesus is coming. We are actively waiting for Jesus to return. The labor pains are getting faster and faster. And life is going to be filled with transition and challenges, unexpected challenges, unpleasant times perhaps. Life is not easy. Life is not fair. The devil is active. He's always right there. God's messenger said to Mary, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. As God's messenger today, I want to say to you, do not be afraid. Now, I know that I ain't no angel, but I'll tell you anyway, you have found favor with God. Merry Christmas. What a gift. He created your inmost being. He knit you together in your mother's womb. You should praise him because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your frame was not hidden from him when you were made in the secret place. His eyes saw your unformed body. All the days that were ordained for you were written in his book of life before even one of them came to be. That is God's angelic message to you at Christmas and all year long. And there's even more. The Holy Spirit of God has come to you. The power of the Most High has overshadowed you. The Holy One has taken up residence inside of you because you have been born again. Therefore, your response to God should be like that of Mary's, who said, I am the Lord's servant. You are the Lord's servant. The word worship means to serve. We are his servant. When we worship him, we serve him. Now, the details of the Christmas story come to us primarily in two Gospels. They come to us in Matthew and Luke. But isn't it interesting that neither Matthew nor Luke begin with Mary and Joseph? Matthew begins with a long list of names, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. But Luke goes even further. Luke begins with Zechariah and Elizabeth and the prophecy of the coming of John the Baptist. And then it deals with the angel coming to Mary. It's as if these two guys were trying to describe to us all about potatoes. But then they start talking about Idaho instead. Why? It's because the story of Christmas does not begin with the birth of Jesus Christ. It begins with the Old Testament prophets. It begins with God's hints of divine things yet to be, ultimate salvation. And with the visits of the angels to Elizabeth and to Mary and to the shepherds and all that history, with all those miraculous visits by those angels, God was saying the same thing. Be expectant. Expect a miracle. Expect the Messiah to come. Expect good things to be revealed to you. I love the way Oral Roberts used to say it all the time. Expect a miracle. He lived his life walking in that. Expect a miracle. Jesus and then some others opened a door for us, just a crack so that we could look in, and said, come over here. Peek in here and see what you can expect. John 16. Jesus said, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is the time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Hallelujah. Psalm 30, weeping may remain for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. 1 Peter 3, you ought to live a holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. We're talking about Advent, the second Advent, and the certainty of the fact that he is going to come again. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, pastor of Moody Church in Chicago, told a story that I like. It's a story about an old farmer in a small town, and he had a very close relationship with his dog. They loved one another. The old farmer passed away. And when the funeral came, they placed his body in a coffin. And then they placed the coffin on the train that came through town every day. And the train started pulling out of town. And his dog began to chase that train, looking for his master. And finally he realized he couldn't keep up, and he stopped. But every day, when the train came back, that dog came to the station. And every day, that dog chased that train because he had the hope that he would see his master again. Now the sad part of that story is we know that that master never came back, but the great part of that story is we know our master is going to come back, and we should chase the train with all the conviction and all the joy and all the excitement and all the expectancy that that dog showed, with confidence. God is not a man that he should lie. He said, Jesus will come back. He will come back. There is no doubt about that. 1 Thessalonians 5. You know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Matthew 24, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Advent. I want to close with an anonymous poem. Listen. What's all this hectic rush and worry? Where go these crowds who run and scurry? Why all the lights, the Christmas trees, the jolly fat man? Tell me, please. Why, don't you know? This is Christmas Day, for parties and for fun and play. Why, this is Christmas. So this is Christmas, do you say? But where is Christ this Christmas Day? Has he been lost among the throng, his voice drowned out by empty song? No, he's not here. You'll find him where some humble soul now kneels in prayer who knows the Christ of Christmas. But see the many aimless thousands who gather on this Christmas day, whose hearts have never yet been opened or said to him, "Come in and stay." In countless homes, the candles burning, in countless hearts, expectant, yearning for gifts and presents, food and fun and laughter till the day is done, but not a tear of grief or sorrow for him so poor he had to borrow a crib, a colt, a boat, a bed where he could lay his weary head. I'm tired of all this empty celebration of feasting, drinking, recreation. And there I'll kneel with those who know the meaning of that manger low and find the Christ this Christmas. I leap by faith across the years to that great day when he appears the second time to rule and reign, to end all sorrow, death and pain. In endless bliss we then shall dwell with him who saved our souls from hell and worship Christ, not Christmas. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, come, come quickly. We are expecting it, Lord. Help us to be ready, Lord. And Lord, as we celebrate your birthday once again, may we do so with hearts filled with joy, because you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we pray all this in your holy name. Amen.